This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. On the anniversary of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, many don't realize the not-so-obvious links between the 16th president and the Mountain State. Clark Davis has more.
Most know the story behind the assassination of Lincoln on April 15, 1865. But many don't realize President Lincoln's connections to West Virginia, aside from his hand in its statehood. Lincoln's mother was from Mineral County, but the link runs much deeper. Michael Woods is a Marshall history professor who's found three West Virginians with unique connections. The first, William McPeck, was from Morgantown and a member of the 6th West Virginia Cavalry. He was on guard outside Ford Theater when Lincoln was shot.
And when he heard the shot that mortally wounded Lincoln, he ran inside, and he ended up being one of the 6 soldiers who carried Lincoln out of the theater and across to the William Press Peterson House.
Everton Conger was actually born in Ohio, but served also in a West Virginia regiment. He was recruited into an intelligence agency that worked in D.C., and just after the assassination was dispatched to a company with some New York soldiers that were trying to track down John Wilkes Booth.
He's actually there on the scene when they cornered Booth. He set the barn that Booth was hiding in on fire. He probably didn't shoot Booth. That was probably somebody else, but he was there with John Wilkes Booth when he died. For his participation in that, he was awarded $15,000 and ended up actually retiring to Hawaii.
The third was Thomas Harris, a Ritchie County physician. Harris was a Union Army officer who was selected as one of the 9 commissioners that presided over the trial and conviction of Booth's 8 co-conspirators.
And of course, the most famous of them probably is Mary Surratt, whose execution remains deeply controversial and was something that Harris, to his dying day, defended as being the only right way to go.
Woods says most people don't realize the connection the three West Virginians have to the president. But Woods says everyone knows that Lincoln played a large role in the state's creation. He says at the time of Lincoln's assassination, there was much worry that his death might hurt the chances of sustaining statehood.
I think the death of the man who had signed that bill into law certainly made it seem even more up in the air. And there were some calls from Virginians demanding the opportunity to basically redraw Virginia's borders, and that could have meant essentially reabsorbing West Virginia into Virginia.
West Virginia's statehood would later be upheld by the Supreme Court, but Woods says he still thinks the death of Lincoln was detrimental to the early years of the state.
Just because it added fuel to the fires that were already there as people are returning home and settling wartime scores. And, you know, some of the most famous feuds in West Virginia and in Appalachian history come out of that time. And his death must have played even just a small role, but in sort of heightening some of those conflicts.
Woods says the assassination of Lincoln leads to many debates to what West Virginia might have been. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:47. Partly sunny in the north, cloudy with a chance of rain in the south today. Temperatures in the 60s, partly cloudy overnight with lows in the 40s. Mostly cloudy on Thursday with a chance of rain. Temperatures in the 50s and 60s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the WVU Arts and Entertainment, presenting the Pittsburgh Ballet Theater performing Beauty and the Beast at the WVU Creative Arts Center April 26th. Information at 304-293-SHOW. Call 1-800-RADIO-87, that's 1-800-723-4687, to pledge your support to West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
The Berkeley County Chamber of Commerce held a public forum yesterday, bringing together lawmakers from the Eastern Panhandle to discuss this past session. Liz McCormick reports.
11 Eastern Panhandle lawmakers attended the event to share with the community their achievements and disappointments from this year's legislative session. Each legislator was given 5 minutes to speak about their experience. Many Republican lawmakers expressed feelings of accomplishment after all their hard work, while Democratic lawmakers said some bills were introduced that were unnecessary or a political ploy. Delegate Jill Upson of Jefferson County was one of many delegates new to the legislative process this year. Upson says having public forums like this one, sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce, are important for the community.
It's a good format because you're able to sit at the table and have lunch with community members that you probably wouldn't meet under other circumstances. And so I like that aspect of the forum. And then the fact that, you know, they give the audience a chance to write down questions. And so you can kind of get that much needed feedback that you get from being down in Charleston, where sometimes, you know, people end up kind of living in a bubble. So I always like hearing from the general public what their thoughts are.
Of the issues mentioned, the most discussed were changes to the state's prevailing wage, drugs, energy, conceal carry, Common Core, and transportation. Many Eastern Panhandle legislators also agreed Senate Bill 574, or as some lawmakers called it, the Bloomery Bill, which gave tax relief to distilleries and mini distilleries in the state, was a big success for their area. Bloomery Sweetshine Distillery, located in Charlestown, closed their doors during the session because they said their previous qualification as a liquor store was too expensive and killing their business. The bill helped them reopen their doors earlier this month. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Martinsburg.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Astrid Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.